So, welcome back, listener, to another exciting episode. In this episode, we will discuss about how to land your dream job with any GPA without applying on hundreds of jobs. I am your host, Josefa Asif, and I am thrilled to introduce our guest. He is a renowned career coach and the author of best-selling book, Mastering College to Career. With years of experience in this field of career development, career coaching, our guest has touched the lives of many individuals and helped them get their dream job. We will be discussing about like different strategies and different things that we can do to get our job rather than focusing on applying on different jobs and applying on more jobs. We should discuss about like how we can prepare our CV and how we can do things that we add more value to the employer so that we get hired. So without further ado, let's dive into the conversation with our guest. A warm welcome to Daniel. Can you introduce yourself and what you have been up to?
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me. Like you said, my name is Daniel. I've been a career coach for the last 10 years, and I've helped, I don't know, thousands, if not more than that, thousands of people get jobs at all the companies that you can think of, the Googles, the Amazons, the Teslas, the Goldman Sachs, the Chase of the world, right? And I do it from a point of coming from someone who graduated college with a really low GPA, right? And someone who, you know, didn't have all the, you know, wasn't book smart, but one thing that really came easy to me was building relationships. And that's really been the foundation of how I help people get jobs, is through the ability to be able to build relationships, network, and showcase their value and tell their story.
Yeah, that is great. And we will start off with, like, can you share some insights on how a candidate can stand out to a potential employer despite having a low or average GPA, or that person might not have a degree as well?
Yeah, I think it's important to, I think, you know, a lot of times as candidates, we're always thinking about us, right? And our issues and our problems. But, you know, the longer I do this, the more I realized, like, as humans, we're selfish creatures, right? And you have to understand, like, what is the people on the other side of the table are thinking about, right? So not only knowing this from someone who graduated with multiple job offers, but also being a hiring manager and now owning a company of over 20 employees, like, I've kind of realized, like, what are companies that are really looking for? And so, like, the best way I can simplify this is this. Think about it like this. Every company, regardless of its size, whether it's Apple that's valued at over $3 trillion, or if it's my business that has 20 employees, is considered a small business, right? We all have limited resources. So Apple can't go and hire every software engineer. I can't go and hire every software engineer. So therefore, every time that a company, regardless of its size, makes a hiring decision, they're making an investment, right? And just like when me and you make an investment, or just like anybody listening to this podcast makes an investment, and an investment means going to college. That investment means with your money or time or other resources, right? Whenever you make an investment, you always look at two things. What is my risk versus my reward, right? And so if you don't have the high GPA, that's not a deal breaker. The GPA is one data point of hundreds, if not thousands of different data points that formulate into that equation of who is the best investment for the problem that I have. And so when you break it down and you understand that as a candidate, and you're communicating your value through your, you know, application from the networking side all the way to the interview, the candidate that is the most qualified doesn't get the job. Rarely do they get the job. It's actually the candidate that best fits that equation of risk versus reward for that particular company.
Yeah. And that is some valuable insights. The next thing is, like, what are some of the alternate strategies for job seekers to gain more visibility from decision makers without, like, sending their CV? Like, because a lot of people are now talking about, like, building their LinkedIn profile or, like, having a portfolio website where they can showcase their expertise and projects. And so what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's going back to understanding, like, that visibility becomes more important than ability when you're first starting out, especially, right? And when you're building your personal brand, like you said, on LinkedIn or creating your portfolio, those are all data points that help increase your value in the eyes of people. And so I do think that it comes down to networking and building relationships. And the reason why networking becomes so important is because you have to understand the problem, right? The internet has made it so easy for you to apply online, but then it's made it so hard for you to get noticed, right? Because if we challenge your audience to say, okay, if I paid you $10 for every job you've applied, you can apply to 100 companies a day. Like easy apply button, like there's tons of ways to easy apply. That has an effect, you know, cost and effect. The effect is that companies now get flooded with applications. So it becomes harder for you to get noticed. So when you can go and network or build a brand, go to a networking event or build your LinkedIn, right? Which LinkedIn has become that social media platform for professionals or for finding a job, then it allows you to stand out, right? Because you're like, also have to understand like, when you apply online, all the company has to judge you is on your resume. And if you really think about what a resume is, your resume is the most biased document in the world. It's all of the good things you've ever done in your life and none of the bad. And so just like me and you, if me and you were making a decision on an investment, going back to the theory of investment, like you can have this perfect pitch, but if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. Because we know, even if you Google it, what percentage of people lie or exaggerate on their resume? It's over 75%. In fact, probably all of us at one point or another have either lied or exaggerated in our resume. And that's where networking and a referral become so important, because if I can see by your actions, not your words, that you did a project because I somehow found your website, found your portfolio, or I can see from our conversation, you know, and I can see that you know what you're talking about. I can see that you're really passionate about back-end development, right?
Yeah.
Then I'm going to believe you because of our interactions more than a really biased resume of someone who applied online.
Yeah, that is true. And with that, my next question is like, you're talking about building a network. I also believe that I'm always like building my network and getting to know more people, like-minded people. So what is your take on how a person who is not very good on LinkedIn or is not very social, how they should approach this? If you tell them like, these are the steps, these are the activities you should do if you want to build a good network.
So let's break that down into a couple of things. One, let's understand who is the right person to network with. And two, how do you go from a stranger to a referral? So like step one, right? Who should I network with? I think most people don't network, period. But most importantly, the people that do network, they're reaching out to recruiters. And I'm actually here to tell you, I would actually avoid going to recruiters. I would actually say, hey, go to people that have the same job that you want at the companies that you want. Like there's no better way for you to reach any goal than to learn from someone who's already done it. So if your dream job is to be a software engineer at Google, I would rather you connect and network with software engineers at Google than a vice president or a recruiter or a HR manager. Like odds are you're going to have way more in common, more to talk about, more similarities, similar passions, similar backgrounds to someone who was also a software engineer at Google. Now, if you then add more layers of similarity to that. So let's say you're an international student and you're in America, and you come across a software engineer that just started at Google less than a year ago, who was also an international student from your same country, odds are they're going to reply. Because odds are they understand the struggle of being an international student. They understand the struggles of being in a new country. And they understand the struggles of trying to get a job at Google because they were just in the interview process not too long ago.
Yeah, you're right. That is some valuable insight, because I also heard from a lot of people that, you know, just like on LinkedIn, if you want to get a job at particular company, you can just like add more HR people from different companies. Like if you want to get a job at Google, just add more HR people from Google. But you're right, like with HR people, we do not have like much to correlate. Like, but with other, like if a person is like a data scientist or like a machine learning expert or like a software engineer, they can like relate more with the same post in that particular company. And that person can, I think, refer them, and then they can also have a good chance of getting a job there. So yeah, that is some different thing. Like I would say, like I haven't like because I haven't heard that. Usually a lot of people talk about like connecting with HR. So yeah, it is new.
Yeah, I think, you know, as humans, right, we're very you know, tribal. We like to be, we like connecting with people who are similar to us, right? Like the more you have in common, the more likely you're willing to help that person. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Like you're a lot more likely to go help your cousins and your mom and your uncles than you are me. Why? Because you have so much in common with them. You have blood in common with them, right? And I think that's where, if you think about the background, especially if you're a STEM student, right? If you are you're going to have way more in common with another developer than you are with someone who studied business or liberal arts.
Yeah, you're right. So in your experience, what are the key factors that employers look for beyond just their GPA? Like what are like the other factors, like their communication skills?
I think it depends ultimately on the goal. I think one of the, so if you're talking about like, if we're talking about like STEM students, like, you know, data scientists, software developers, like, you know, if we're talking about more technical roles, I think a lot of times you see that the lack is on the soft skills, on the leadership skills, on the communication skills, and the teamwork skills. Because what happens is that when you join an organization and you're one of 1 million employees or you're one of 10,000 employees, right? That what's going to set you apart is your ability to work in a team. Are you coachable, right? Are you hardworking? How do you communicate? How do you ensure that you're actually working on something that is creative and meaningful? If you have good ideas, how are you communicating those ideas so those ideas are actually being used, right? And I think that's a big part that you're that is being missed by a lot of my clients, because I work with a lot of STEM students. That are, say, they're so focused on learning the new programming language that they forget about the main language, which is like the main communication, which is like whether it's English or wherever you are, that language needs to be a focus too. How do you communicate with people? Because at the end of the day, you're building products and services for people.
Yeah. You're right. So can you provide some tips on how to tailor your resume and cover letter and how we can highlight our strength and skills? Because we have talked about like the communication skills and all that. So I just wanted to know about like the resume part as well.
I think you have to think about your resume as like the trailer to your movie. And you have to understand that the goal of your resume is not to get a job. Like I think we forget that. We skip too many steps. The goal of your resume at a best case scenario is to get an interview. No one's going to look at your resume like you're hired. No. Why? Because we just talked about this. Like I look at your resume with skepticism. I know you probably lied or exaggerated on it. So why do I have to interview you after looking at your resume? Because I want to make sure that the resume is real, right? If you think about your interviews, generally is asking you about your resume and double checking that the work that you said you could do, you can actually do. Yeah. So to me, I would actually say you need to have a good resume. I get that, but I would rather you focus on relationship building. I would rather you focus on networking. You know, I see a lot of people trying to beat the applicant tracking system and try to figure out the right words to add the keywords and all of that. In fact, forget trying to beat the applicant tracking system, skip the applicant tracking system. How do you skip it? By networking. If you can go directly to someone on the team, someone that's going to report, that reports to the same boss, someone who's going to be your coworker, and they send your resume to the manager and said, "Hey, boss, you got to talk to this person. Like I just talked to them on LinkedIn. Their portfolio is awesome. They're driven. I could tell they're hardworking." And the boss goes, "You know what? The least I could do is interview him. Let's see what the hype is all about." All right. Yeah. And if you get to the interview, then you just did the same thing. And actually better. And you just beat 95% of other people who apply for the job. And no ATS was involved. It was humans. And until you find out that the company is no longer hiring based on humans, then you should continue on networking, right? Like I understand all this technology, it's out there. All this AI. But last time I heard, Google still hires by a human. Amazon still uses humans to hire. Like the final decision is still a human.
Yeah, right. And like, because like, you're also right that in that sense, like if a person focus more on networking side, because like there are nowadays, like I also see on LinkedIn, like easy apply button all on almost like all of the jobs, like 70 to 80% jobs now have like easy apply. And it is like 3 second effort, I would say, or like 4 second, just click submit, like if there are like 2-3 steps, yeah, and you can like submit your resume. So there are like thousands of resume, and HR might like go through some of them, and then some company have like some filtering CRM that filter the resume based on keywords and stuff. So it's better, like, rather than focusing on that, just like other than that, there's also a feature like I've seen on LinkedIn that you can message a recruiter as well. Like I would say, like, these things are more better, as you have suggested, like connecting with people rather than focusing on like just applying more on jobs.
Yeah, I think it's like, if everyone does it, I think you should be wary of doing it, because if it's easy, everyone's going to do it. And then so because it's easy to apply, the companies now have to create filters or use technology or use AI to be able to filter through those applications and figure out who to interview or not. Like, a company like Google gets 10,000 applicants. Are they going to interview all 10,000? No, they can't.
Yeah.
They
can't. Yeah, you're right. And what is your thought on like how a person should optimize their like LinkedIn or like their personal website or like their social media, because they want to network with other person, right? But their LinkedIn should be attractive, should be designed in a way that the other person feels like, yeah, I can connect with him and I can talk to him. We have like, so what's your take on that? Like, what are the things that we should focus on in LinkedIn?
Yeah, I think having clarity of what industry or career they want and communicating that, like, you don't need to be an expert. You're coming right out of college, or you're just like, you're not expected to be a thought leader or an expert, but you communicating how you're learning something new and then you have clarity of what you want really helps you stand out. And I would even say like what you do is great. Like, you have all the technology that you're really familiar with on your header. You have all your technology on your banner, right? And so, like, for example, I think you are a good example of how you can be communicating your value on it. Like, you have 7 years of experience, but you know, there's people with 20, 30 years of experience, but I bet you can get a job over them because of your ability to showcase your value on your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, you're right. Like, because like, I remember, like, I have like different friends, and my mentor used to always tell me, like, back in the days, I don't like really value LinkedIn, but he used to tell me, like, you know, like, you have to change your headline, you have to do this, you have to do this. And over the time period, I get to know that, like, with like, I am adding things in almost every section. Like, if you go to publications, I have added it is like filled. If you go to recommendations, like, I have get recommendations from my colleagues, and I'm also writing articles and like making different posts as well. And then that thing, like, you know, like it basically, you start to noticing the difference. Like, because I remember, like, 3-4 years ago, I started, when I was active on LinkedIn, I started like getting a lot of messages from HR, like, we have this job opportunity, we have this opportunity. And when I moved to Malaysia, I remember, like, I changed my location to Kuala Lumpur, and like from the next day, because I was also not thinking about, from the next day, I got a message from one of the biggest company, IT company, Maybank, is like a banking system here in Kuala Lumpur. They messaged me, and I was getting like messages from HR, like one or two messages every day, some days like 3-4. So I was like, oh shit, man, like, this thing is like actually works. Like, if you have like right data, like right things, and it's not like, your point is also right. Like, you do not have to like exaggerate, like, whatever you have done, you have to make sure, like, what you know, you just put it there. I know that there are like a lot of things that I don't know, like Go language or Python, I'm not really good in that. Like, there are like a lot of things, Rust, but like the things which I am good in, I will put all of that on my profile, and I will just make sure like it's more visible, easily people can find out like what I do. So yeah, I think this is like for someone who does not know much about it, like, yeah, they can like see profile of people like who are on LinkedIn for like a long time, they can just get inspiration from them.
Yeah, no, I said, I think you're so amazing social proof. Like, I think you're really good and you have a lot of experience, but there's also tons of people who have 20 years of experience and you're getting messages. And I think that's interesting. It's like, how is it that so many people are struggling to get calls back, but someone who hasn't even applied for jobs is getting messages from HR? Why? Visibility becomes more important than ability. Like, that's how you're going to get your foot in the door. Now, your ability keeps you in the door, because if they hire you and you don't know what you're talking about, then you're not going to last.
Yeah, you're right. And with that, like, I would like to discuss about, like, I have seen on your profile, you're like offering a course that like basically tells a person, like a fresh graduate, like how to streamline and like then get a job. So can you tell us like what is included in that? Like someone I know, like there are a lot of people, like they're like, what to do? They're like, they do not know much about it. Like that guy might not be like, listen, that guy might listen to our podcast and say, still say like, these guys are talking high level. I cannot understand them. They are in the market for like 7, 8 years or 10 years. So I cannot relate with them, but I know that course they might, because that course is like tailored for them. So yeah, I would like to know more about it.
Well, I want to first say that I think everyone listening is looking for a job should consider working with a career coach. Not necessarily me, because I don't necessarily work with everyone. But I think, like, you know, some of the biggest decisions of your life, you use help. You use a realtor to buy a house. You use a financial advisor to plan for your retirement. And I think your career that helps you buy a house and retire is a lot of times ignored. And I think there's a value of working with someone to help you maximize your full potential in your career. But what I specialize in, my company, Opni, we specialize in helping international STEM students that are coming to America to study in an American university. And we help them get jobs at Google's, Tesla's, Amazon's of the world. And the way our mentoring program works is that we've identified there's three main things that anybody needs to get a really good job. One, you need the right strategy. So we have a five-step process: clarity, visibility, networking, interviewing, and salary negotiation. But two, you need to have that strategy customized to you. So every single person that comes to our program is partnered to one of our nine career coaches, and we help customize that strategy to you. And third is community. The job search process can be lonely, so having the ability to join group coaching calls, get to know other job seekers, and share best practices, there's a lot of value. And if you did want to learn more about that, just connect with me on LinkedIn. You could just search Daniel Botero on LinkedIn and just send me a message and let me know that you heard from me on the podcast. And I'll be more than happy to kind of start the conversation and see if working together makes sense.
Yeah, that is great. And like, you are specifically mentoring the all the STEM students of US. Like, I just want to make it clear, right?
Yes, in the United States. Okay. My advice could help you outside of the United States, but we don't work with anybody that's not in the United States, just because our program is pay by performance. So we only make money once you get a job. And so because we're not as well connected outside of the United States.
Yeah, but still it's like a good option. Like, and if someone is just get a, you know, offer from a university and they're moving to US, because I know a lot of people who are like looking for, because directly getting a job in US, it is a bit difficult for like a lot of people like who are living in India, Pakistan, or like you can say Malaysia as well, all these Asian countries. So what people do is people basically apply for just like some master degree or like PhD, like if someone has master, they do PhD degree, and then they do like choose a plan of like 1 year or like 2 year max, so that they can just like get that thing done, and then they just get a good job. And all of them are very worried because they're like, because in that time period, because I think after your studies end, you have like 1 year or one and a half year. I'm not sure about that. But like after that, if you do not have a job, then you have to go back. So all of these guys are, I think, also very worried about like, we have to land a job. Otherwise, like we are going back. So yeah, can you tell about that? Like most of your students, I would say, like have that
it's
problem.
It's really hard, right? Like, so if you're talking about like when you come to America as a college student, which is like an F1 visa, once you graduate, and if you graduate from a STEM major, you can work in America for up to 3 years without any other requirements. The problem is you only have 60 days to get a job from the time you graduate, and then you go into a lottery system. And it's really hard to get a job in less than 90 days because you need to find a job with a company that's willing to sponsor you. And so that's where the challenge comes in. And so I think that's, I would say it's coming to America and getting a job in America is very, 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 very difficult. And it's something that I would actually like double think. If you're thinking about coming to America to get a job because you think it's easy and there's plenty of jobs in America, it's not as easy as it sounds. And I would actually have you do more research on it before making that big investment.
Yeah, you're right. Because like there's the main challenge is like all the companies are not providing the visa sponsorship. Like it is like the same in Malaysia as well. There are like a huge number of IT companies, like the place where I'm sitting on my back, there are like a lot of offices. Like I'm just sitting in the center of like Kuala Lumpur. But the problem is like a lot of people contact me as well. Like, but the thing is like, there are like very few companies, like you can say like out of 50, there are like one or two companies that can actually give you the proper visa sponsorship and all that. Otherwise, all other, they're like, okay, you can just work with us, but just, we will not provide you the visa. So I think like, it's also difficult to like in the US as well. So you have to keep that in mind, because I know like a lot of people are just like thinking like, we can go there, we will get the job, we will get the visa. So you have to be prepared, or like if you're not prepared and you're still in America, I would say like you should contact Daniel ASAP, otherwise you're in trouble. So yeah, can you tell us about like any success story, like a person who, like a member who worked with you and then they get a job, like and like what is like the best success story you can share right now?
Man, I think because I've been doing this for so long, I've had so many. You can actually go to my website, opni.co/success stories, and you can see hundreds of them. You can even go on my LinkedIn too and have like hundreds of recommendations. But I think, you know, like I think to me, what's really great is like having someone that's been a, you know, sacrificed everything to come to America to do this. And they got a job at Microsoft making $175,000. With a bachelor's degree in computer science. So that is, it's insane how life-changing that becomes for someone.
Yeah, you're right. And yeah, I've also saw on your website as well, like there are a lot of people like getting a job, and getting a job at like big companies. It's not just like getting a job at like normal IT company. So that is like very exciting, like that you are helping like a lot of people. And I think these guys are also connected with you after once they get a job. They're still like, there's some community, right?
Yeah, we try to keep everybody in network. That way our current clients can then reach out to people who have gotten jobs at big companies. And it creates kind of like this, like this cycle of it, like a loop. Absolutely. But hey, I really want to thank you for having me here on the podcast. This has been a really good time.
Yeah. Thanks, man. And then like, I want to ask about like the book that you have written. Like, can you tell us more about that? Like, what's the book about? I'm pretty sure like it's about the same process, but like, I would like to know more about from you, like what's the book about? Like, if someone is curious about that and want to know more about it, like you can just give an outline what it is about, and then they can go off and check that out.
Sure. The book is about the same step process about how to get a job, like the strategy itself. You can find it on Amazon. It's called How to Mastering College to Career. And I try to sell it at a cost. Like, so you can actually definitely get it. And if you want it, if you message me on LinkedIn, I'll be more than happy to give you a free copy of it. For me, I use the book as a way to give back to the community.
Sure. So thank you, Daniel, for sharing your expertise and shedding light on how to land your dream job. And we greatly appreciate your time and efforts. So have a nice day.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been amazing.